all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for the Major League Baseball playoffs. The league's 162-game regular season officially ended Sunday, and now 10 teams are preparing for the postseason. For four clubs, the Toronto Blue Jays, Baltimore Orioles, New York Mets, and San Francisco Giants, it's a win-or-go-home situation. They all play in one-off wild-card games. Toronto will host Baltimore Tuesday night, and the Mets are at home against the Giants Wednesday night. The winner of the Blue Jays-Orioles wild card game will advance to play the Texas Rangers in a best-of-five American League Division playoff series. And the winner of the Mets-Giants wild card game will advance to play the Chicago Cubs in a best-of-five National League Division playoff series. In another American League Division playoff series, the Cleveland Indians will play the Boston Red Sox, and there's excitement here in Washington. That's because the city's major league club, the Washington Nationals, will host the Los Angeles Dodgers in a National League Division playoff series. That best-of-five series will begin Friday, October 7th, at Nationals Park here in Washington, just a short walk from our Voice of America headquarters. Taking a look at the regular season records, the Chicago Cubs led all clubs with 103 victories. Now, the Cubs are sentimental favorites among more than a few Major League Baseball fans. It's been 108 years since the Cubs won the World Series, and they haven't even been to a World Series since 1945. Let's take a look at a few of baseball's regular season statistical leaders now. In the American League, Venezuelan Jose Altuve of the Houston Astros led in batting average, hitting .338. Mark Trumbo of the Baltimore Orioles led in home runs with 47. And there was a tie for runs batted in between the Dominican players Edwin Encarnacion of the Toronto Blue Jays and David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox. They each had 127 RBIs. Another Red Sox player, pitcher Rick Porcello, led the American League in wins with 22. In the National League, DJ LeMahieu of the Colorado Rockies led in batting average, hitting .348. Nolan Arenado of the Rockies tied with Chris Carter of the Milwaukee Brewers for home runs, 41 each, and Arenado also led in runs batted in with 133. Pitcher Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals led the National League in wins with 20. Now, Scherzer won the American League Cy Young Award in 2013, given to the top pitcher when he played for the Detroit Tigers. He's rated a top contender for the National League Cy Young Award this season. And on Friday here in Washington, Max Scherzer is matched up against Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers in what should be a great playoff pitching duel. Kershaw has won the National League Cy Young Award three times. I'm Sonny Young, no relation to Cy Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
European club football news now on the Voice of America. And reporter Loic Youth joins us now for a look back at weekend action in the Barclays English Premier League. Sporty greetings, Loic!
Salento! 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 Go and do it for me! Now watch me win!
Sporty greetings, Sonny, and seven games into the season, the Barclays Premier League is starting to take shape. I'm Loic Youth, and I'll start you guys off at White Hart Lane, where Spurs, with the league's best defense, hosted table-topping Manchester City. Spurs were clearly up for it as their pressing, energy, and lovely intricate play guided them to a 2-0 win, despite missing a penalty. Collaro's own goal on 9 minutes got the Londoners started, and Dele Alli on 37 scored what was the final goal of the game. This was Guardiola's first defeat, leaving Spurs the only undefeated side. The rivals Arsenal traveled to Burnley as Arsene Wenger celebrated his 20th year as Arsenal boss, an incredible achievement for the Frenchman, and his team lived up to the occasion with a last-minute goal from captain Koscielny. For the duration of the game, Burnley's well-structured shape frustrated the Gunners, and as it looked like the points would be shared, defender Laurent Koscielny bundled in a corner on 93 minutes to lift Arsenal up to third place. Liverpool and Chelsea both won away at Swansea and Hull, respectively. For Liverpool, they continued a good run of four straight league wins after coming from behind to win 2-1, while for Chelsea, it was their first win after two consecutive league defeats, a welcome win for Conte as they ran out 2-0 winners. And as for Chelsea's Diego Costa, he now sits top of the goal chart with 6 so far. Other results were an inspired performance from Stoke's keeper Lee Grant as they held Man United to a 1-0 draw, Joe Allen and Martial getting those goals. Champions Leicester arrested their recent slump with a 0-0 draw at home to Southampton, while West Ham got their first league point since August 21st with Payet scoring a wonder solo goal. Further down, where Sunderland dropped to the bottom of the table despite their 1-1 draw with West Brom, meaning they still search for their first win of the season. Finally, Watford and Bournemouth shared the spoils in an enthralling 2-2 draw at Vicarage Road. And for Watford's Troy Deeney, he just needs one more to reach the 100-goal mark. Incredible stuff there. Friday's only game saw Everton play out to a 1-1 draw as Pardew's Crystal Palace travelled to Goodison. So as it stands, the top 10 teams are separated by 9 points, while the bottom 10 only have 7 points between them. It's already getting tight in England. Our next stop is in Italy as Juventus are the clear pace setters, opening up a 4-point gap at the top of the table. Their game against Empoli was ended as a contest within a 5-minute spell as Paulo Dybala found the net on 65, and by the 70th minute, Gonzalo Higuain had helped himself to 2 goals to seal a 3-0 win. The Argentine justifying his hefty price tag, while his old team Napoli lost their first game of the season, a 1-0 loss at Atalanta, thus giving the Turin Giants some breathing space at the top. Milan served up the main course of the match day, coming away with a 4-3 win at home to Sassuolo. You'd have thought they were down and out at 3-1, but 3 second-half goals ensued and the San Siro was spoiled for goals in this one. The last game of the week then took us to the ancient city as AS Roma played host to Inter Milan. Inter had another below par performance on Thursday and were looking to get back to winning ways, but it started horribly for them as they were behind after 5 minutes. Edin Dzeko with the goal and not the start Deborah wanted, but his men made a fight of it in the second half and duly got a response on 77 minutes as Ever Banega wasn't to be denied this time. A neat finish in the bottom corner leveled up things, but 4 minutes later, they were behind again. Costas Manolas connecting sweetly with a free kick to give Roma the 2-1 lead they never relinquished. Around the league now, as Chievo came away with 2 goals at Pescara and Lazio dominated Udinese 3-0. Bologna narrowly lost at home to Genoa, while there were 2-1 wins for Cagliari and Torino. Sampdoria and Palermo were evenly split at 1-1 to round off week 7. So exciting stuff there as we go into the international break and World Cup qualifiers take center stage. Eyes will be on England now as they're under new management because Sam Allardyce, I guess, decided he wasn't getting paid enough, so he sought some extra funds on the side. Silly him. So that means Gareth Southgate takes over as qualifiers start this Thursday and pour into early next week. So that's it from me from the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Loic Youth. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Loic. Loic mentioned Tottenham ending Pep Guardiola's perfect Premier League start with Manchester City. Guardiola had words of praise for the Spurs of Tottenham after the match.
They were better. They were a better team. That's all, so sometimes can happen. So we play against today one team, which is the same training last, I think, 2 or 3 years. The last season it was until the end fighting for to win the Premier League. So played with the talent, and we knew how aggressive they are, home away, but especially home. And of course it was difficult because we had the problems to find the guys where we want to find it and control our game. And the second balls, they will lose a lot of balls in the position with so dangerous. And they were on a step in front of us today. So we just can say congratulations to Tottenham, because when the opening is better, you have to accept it and learn from that. So football is a process, and all sports is a process. Sometimes win, sometimes lose, and you have to learn about what we have not done properly and keep going.
Meanwhile, Tottenham's Argentine manager, Mauricio Pochettino, was proud of his boys.
I think very happy, very pleased. The performance was nearly perfect. I think to play again a great team like Manchester City, you need to do a fantastic job. I think for that, I feel very pleased for, I'm very proud for the performance and the work that our players show today.
Tottenham Football Club manager Mauricio Pochettino speaking from White Hart Lane in London. Turning to auto racing, Australian Formula One driver Daniel Ricciardo won his first race of the season at the Malaysian Grand Prix. Ricciardo admitted he had a bit of luck on his side. Three-time Formula One world champion Lewis Hamilton of Britain was leading on lap 41 of 56 at the Sepang International Circuit when the engine blew in his Mercedes. Hamilton was furious with the engine problems, and then Ricciardo, driving for Red Bull, took advantage. Talk to us, Daniel!
I'm not really one for, you know, believing in a whole lot, but obviously, it went the other way in Monaco, so, you know, I'll take this today. No hard feelings to Lewis, but I'll definitely take the win. And it's been pretty emotional, you know, 2 years since the last win, and we've come so close this year. And 2 weeks ago after the race, I said we'll win one this year. And here you go, we got this. So big thanks to Red Bull Racing, everyone who supported me through this journey.
Daniel Ricciardo's teenage Red Bull teammate, 19-year-old Belgium-born driver Max Verstappen, came in second at the Malaysian Grand Prix, and the third-place finisher was this season's Formula One points leader, German driver Nico Rosberg.
First of all, yeah, turn one. I thought it was all over, so I'm really happy to be able to fight back in such a way all the way to the podium. That's been great, and thank you very much to all of you here in Malaysia. You've been amazing this whole week, and the support has been incredible. It's been amazing to see that. Yeah, and apart from that, I mean, in general, yeah, I wish for a better day today, but it's the way it is sometimes.
Nico Rosberg now has a 23-point lead over Mercedes teammate Lewis Hamilton in the Formula One standings, and with 5 races left in the season, it will be difficult for Hamilton to make up the deficit. Nico Rosberg's biggest career achievements to date have been in 2014 and 2015, when he finished runner-up to Lewis Hamilton in the Formula One World Championship. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Lots to talk about, but first, a major accomplishment for the United States. It has been over 3,000 days since the United States has held the Ryder Cup, and they have won the cup, winning it yesterday in the U.S. state of Minnesota. Big news for U.S. golf fans. Huge celebrations on the course from the U.S. players. Lots of fun moments that we saw on social media prior to the U.S. winning the cup while they were still tightly locked in this tight competition with Europe. You saw Rory McIlroy sink a putt and shush the crowd, and that became a social media moment that a lot of people were talking about. After he sinks this and just turns to them, goes, puts his finger up to his lips to try to quiet them down. But it turns out he was the one who was left silent after Europe lost. But
pretty convincing victory, too.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it was, you know, for, like I said, for golf fans, you just saw social media light up. This has been a huge moment for the golf world, for U.S. golf fans, and a huge moment for the players on social media as well. I saw so many of those players on the U.S. team. And some of the first things that they were doing was tweeting out photos or sending out photos on Instagram and Facebook with the cup or with their teammates celebrating. I saw one, I think my favorite one I saw was somebody photoshopped all of the Team USA players into the Washington crossing the Delaware, which for our listeners is a famous painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware River during the Revolutionary War. And instead of seeing all these members of the U.S. Army then fighting against the British, you see all these golfers that are in that boat. So is you know, saying what a huge huge impact they've had on not just sports but the country too, but certainly for the golf world.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of the WNBA's most valuable player, Aneka Ogwumike. Yes, she does have Nigerian heritage, and she was voted the Women's National Basketball Association most valuable player after a very productive season for the Los Angeles Sparks. I did a little research, and Aneka, if I'm correct, in the Igbo language, means mother is supreme. Mother is supreme, and Ogwumike has been one of the supreme players in the WNBA this season. And congratulations to her for that MVP award. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, sticking with the theme of the United States, a huge first in the English Premier League. Now, why would we be talking about the English Premier League and talking about the United States? It doesn't seem like it's a good matchup. Well, the EPL has its first U.S. coach. Bob Bradley was named coach of Swansea City. So he's the first American to coach in the Premier League, which is a lot of fans pointing out that this is a great accomplishment for the United States in a time when interest in Premier League and also just soccer generally in the U.S. is growing. People saying this could be a huge step forward to try to increase that interest. And so you see a lot of key figures in the soccer world or the football world wishing Bob Bradley well. Of course, he coached the U.S. men's national team from 2006 to 2011 before he went to Egypt to coach the Egyptian men's national team from 2011 to 2013. So a lot of excitement, a lot of praise for him, but not universal. There are some people saying, you know what, this isn't America. We don't need an American coach. This is our own thing. Let the Americans have their league. We don't need Americans in ours. So you have a lot of back and forth on that, whether this is a good decision or not. Others pointing out, based on his resume, it is a good coaching decision, so they're hopeful. But a lot of fans, too, unhappy with the sacking of Coach Francisco Guidolin. He was actually fired on his birthday.
Oh, no.
So people, that did not sit well with people and fans of his. So a lot of back and forth, but you know, a good step forward, like I said, for U.S. involvement in soccer around the world. So we'll see if it how it pans out for him.
And you mentioned, Andrew, his previous stints as the national team manager of both the USA and Egypt. But this arguably is his most high-profile managerial assignment, with the Premier League watched around the world and every weekend. I think the heat will really be on Bob Bradley.
Oh, I think so for sure. And you say arguably because there is that debate back and forth on managing, you know, the U.S. men's national team versus this team. If it, you know, how those kind of stack up between the EPL and managing a country's team. But no, the pressure is certainly going to be on him, and fans are going to hold him, you know, hold his feet to the fire, as we say. They're going to really push for him to do well, and they're hoping that he will based on his resume.
And one other quick note about Bob Bradley. His son, Michael Bradley, is one of the top players for the U.S. men's national soccer team. And I'm sure Michael must be very proud of his father going to Swansea City in Barclays Premier League. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we had yesterday the end of the Major League Baseball season in the U.S., or at least the regular season. I think you talked about earlier in the show, the playoffs are starting now, so those are coming up later this week. But with the end of the regular season, we saw the end of some big careers. So we saw, as we talked about last week, Vin Scully, the announcer for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who's had a 67-year career announcing with the Dodgers, signing off for the final time. He said, "I have said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon." So lots of praise for Vin Scully, lots of video clips of his final, the final out that he broadcast, his final message to fans, and universal agreement that there won't be anybody like him in the near future. He was really an iconic figure, and to have someone be at the same organization broadcasting for 67 years.
Incredible.
It is absolutely incredible, and something that a lot of fans say they'll never see again in their lifetime. They're pretty confident about that.
Well, Andrew, with the Dodgers coming here to Washington to play the Nationals, like, that means Scully won't be making the trip with the team?
I believe he's done after the regular season. He said he would not be broadcasting in the playoffs. He's done now is my understanding. But now he's signed off, and the fans are sad to see him go. But some fans even saying, "Come on, Vin, you got to come to D.C." And but now I think he's done. But another goodbye in the baseball world yesterday was to Turner Field, where the Atlanta Braves play in Atlanta, Georgia. And that stadium, after I think about only 20 years, it was built for, I believe, the 1996 Olympics. They're going to build a new stadium out in the suburbs outside of the city of Atlanta. So a lot of big name players, chief among them, Hank Aaron, there in Atlanta to bid adieu to Turner Field. But among the fans in the stands was former President Jimmy Carter. Of course, he's from Plains, Georgia, huge Atlanta fan, Atlanta sports fan. And they put Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter, his wife, former First Lady Rosalind Carter, up on the Kiss Cam. Now, we talk about, you know, the Kiss Cam and fans trying to do funny things or whatever. Well, this moment was really touching. He went in and gave her a huge kiss. They're both sporting their Atlanta Braves hats, as good fans would. And Jimmy Carter at age 92 and Rosalind at age 89. Still a lot of love there.
Very
as
nice.
It showed on the Kiss Cam. So that moment getting a lot of social media play, people saying, you know, what a great moment. And as much as, you know, politics can be like a sport, as we've talked about, it's nice to see a key, nice political moment like that. That's not, you know, about this side of the aisle or that side of the aisle, but just a nice touching moment. So good for Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter. Unfortunately, the Atlanta Braves, I think they finished with just about the worst record in baseball. but at least they'll be getting a new stadium. So that's something, I guess. If nothing else, they'll have a new place to play next season.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and we'll have you back on Tuesday.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
And that wraps up the October 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On September 23rd, at a Lake Chad Basin side event at the UN General Assembly, the United States pledged an additional $41 million in funding to meet emergency needs for conflict-affected and vulnerable households in the Lake Chad Basin. This additional funding to UN and NGO partners will ensure tens of thousands of people receive critical humanitarian assistance, including emergency food assistance, safe drinking water, and shelter support, as well as interventions to address acute hygiene, nutrition, and protection needs. According to the United Nations, there are more than 2.5 million internally displaced persons and more than 169,000 refugees living in the Lake Chad Basin. During the Lake Chad Basin side event, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, highlighted the pervasive food insecurity in the region. Ambassador Power stated that the crisis is so severe that an estimated 134 children will die every day of severe malnutrition in Nigeria's Borno state unless treated. And this is just a sliver of the consequences if we come up short on raising enough funds, she said. The United States has now provided more than $359 million in humanitarian aid to this region since 2015. The United States continues to be the largest donor to the area. At the recent high-level meeting, donors pledged $163 million of the $542 million needed between September and December. In addition to the U.S., major donors include Belgium, Italy, and Britain. The United States urges other donors to fulfill their pledged contributions and consider donations of additional humanitarian assistance for the millions of people in the region whose lives have been devastated by Boko Haram's senseless violence.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
Join us for VOA's coverage of the most important U.S. political event of the year. Americans will decide who their next president will be. We'll have all the context, commentary, and analysis with our coverage of the U.S. presidential election. Right here on VOA.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two Face, Nato C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.